she went. I'll be back about a couple hours.
You're not going to say anything about me.
That's different. Do you like anything?
I'll try to finish at 9.
You'll finish at 9.
I have a certain demographic now.
Appreciate your time here. Uh-huh.
You don't even have to tuck in your shirt. You ready, sir?
What are we all doing?
I'm just running.
The rest of
shall we? Yeah, okay. Okay. There are sheets over there. It'll be much better if you have a sheet. Okay. First of all, I want to thank Debbie Sondheim sponsoring this series in honor of her parents, Heinz and Ina Sondheim, and Josh and Robin Rockland for sponsoring for reasons only they know. Okay. When Henry asked me if I would give a series this summer, I didn't really have anything on my mind. But the greatness of being forced to give a series on something is I've always been interested in Kedusha and what the word means. I think it started with the following. When I was a kid, sometimes my father would quote a sefer called the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. And I remember thinking, I don't know who he is, but anybody who's called HaKadosh must be pretty cool. And it dawned on me that of all the nicknames I aspired to in my life, being called HaKadosh, that's as high as it gets. And the question is why? When we say that something is kadosh, when we say that something has kedusha, what do we mean by that? There's another word that I think is used the way kadosh is used. If you say that something is good, what he did was good, what she did was good, what do we mean by that? I'll tell you what we mean by it if you think about it. We mean it was morally positive. That on a moral plane, if that was a good deed, there was something positive about that. It strikes me that the word kadosh, or the word holy, is kind of a parallel to the word good in morality. When we say kadosh, we mean something positive religiously. Something positive religiously. That's what we mean. But the question is, what does that mean? What does something positive religiously mean? So, if I ask you simply, how would you translate the word kedusha? The answer is holiness. So I looked up the word holiness, because holiness is just a word. It doesn't mean anything in and of itself. Holiness is broadly defined as dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose. Okay, that's kind of helpful. Dedicated or consecrated to God or a religious purpose. What that means is there's something from about holiness. Kadosh means holy. Holy has some kind of religious, from, positive connotation. We're moving in a certain direction, but I don't know where we're getting to. So, let me start with a different question. If I ask you, and this I really want somebody to try to answer, what is the source of Kedusha? We have some vague idea. What is the source of Kedusha? The Torah is not a person. Okay. Well, sorry. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what you meant by the Torah. That God is the source of Kedusha. Now, what does it mean that God is the source of Kedusha? Whoever said that?
Editing now.
Okay, so God is like some holy property from which like Lahavdil, if God were kryptonite, so stuff emanates from him. Okay, that's one approach. What's the other possibility, or at least one other possibility? People. Although it's counterintuitive, it could be the case that people are the source of Kedusha. Now, the reason why we hesitate to say that is because you would assume that the source of Kedusha has to be himself or herself Kadosh. And we don't really think of people as a kind of emanating, you know, it's like electricity. The source of electricity has to be something you're afraid to touch because it generates so many sparks. Okay? And so we have God, we have man, and you could say, this no one would say, but I'll throw it out there as a possibility, that it exists independently or as a result of something, but it's neither God-focused or man-focused. Okay? When you want to translate a term, you want to get a sense for what something means, it's always useful to look at how the term is used in the Torah. Right? What better source than to look at how the word Kadosh or Kedusha is used in the Torah? So first of all, I'll tell you up front. Interestingly, and I'll come back to this, it's only used once in all of Sefer Bereishis. Hey, I used a computer, so I could have blown it. There are a lot of words. The root Kadosh, interestingly, it's a place. Kadesh and places of a name like that come up a bunch of times in Sefer Bereishis, but we're ignoring those and assuming that the word Kadesh is just a coincidence. I could see somebody taking a different position, but if you ignore that, look at number one. The very first, and most people probably could have guessed this if they thought about it. Not surprising, the first use of the word Kadosh in the Torah relates to Shabbos. Right at the very beginning, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShivi'i, Vayikadesh Oto, Kivo Shabbat Mikom Lachta Asher Berlin Lasot. In this pasuk, what is the source, or who is the source of Kedusha? It's obvious. It says, Vayivarech Elokim es Yom HaShivi'i. God is the source. God blessed the seventh day, and therefore the seventh day became holy, became Kadosh. Okay. Second one. Now you have to skip all the way to Shmos. Moshe Rabbeinu meets God at the Sneh. Okay, at the burning... Yeah, already? Wise God. Yeah, so it's true. I'm skipping those on the theory that... I do want to come back to that, but I didn't skip it to cheat. I skipped it because I don't think... It doesn't mean... It means the opposite. It might, but it's too hard to work with. So, cut me some slack. Okay? The question was that I cheated. There is another use of the word kuf, dalet, shin, and sefer bereishis has to do with prostitution. I promise to come back to not prostitution, but... Okay? Fine. Let's go to a real source. Moshe Rabbeinu is at the burning bush. God calls out to him and says, Vayomer, Al tikrav halom, don't come too close. Shal ne'alecha me'at raglecha, take off your shoes. Ki ha'makom asher ata omeid alav atmat kodeshu. Because the land that you're standing on is kadosh. So, our regular question, what's the source of Kedusha here? Huh? Ah. So the simplest reading is it's God. God is living in the burning bush. So therefore, don't come too close. But, huh?
The reason why you don't...
Right. Who tells kids that? I'm not familiar with that argument, but okay. The simplest reading is that it's God. But it also sounds like, in some way, he doesn't say, don't come too close because I'm here. It says, Admas Kodesh. It sounds like it may have been a pre-existing condition, what they call insurance, a pre-existing condition. Somehow that spot always had a holiness to it, and for that reason, God occupied it. Okay? It's not clear, but certainly, if you press me to the wall, I would say God is the source of Kedusha in this pasuk. Nah, it's interesting to me. God says, don't come any closer, so it's definitely not Moshe. Right, otherwise he'd have to walk around barefoot his whole life because it's Moshe. Now, third one. This is the next source. The next source, the next use of the word is Kadesh li kol bechor. God says to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the Jewish people, sanctify each bechor. What's the bechor? Peter Kolechem, the person or the entity that opens the womb, Bibnei Yisrael, ba'adomu va'beheima lihu. The womb opener of every animal is mine. Okay? Kadesh li kol bechor. What's the source of Kedusha in this pasuk? It sounds like us. Right? God says to us, Kadesh li kol bechor. Sanctify for me each firstborn. I think that's the simplest reading. I'm happy for you to say otherwise. Yeah, but that's because you're smart and you know all these things. I'm just reading the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? If I say to you, you know, sanctify for me, it means I need your help. Would you please turn something holy for me? That's true. There's a whole backstory to it. But at least the simplest reading of this pasuk is that human beings are the source of Kedusha with respect to a Bechor. Let's do two more. The word Kadosh comes up a bunch of times in Az Yashir. Mi chamocha v'ilim Hashem, mi chamocha nedor ba'kodesh. God here, Kodesh is an adjective for God. God is resplendent in holiness. So that's a simple one for God. And then the last two that are a pair, God says to us, Va'atem tihiyu li mamlechet kohanim, a nation of priests, v'goy kadosh, a holy nation. Hela Hadrim, Hashem Tebel, B'nai Yisrael, and a few psukim later, Va'yom Hashem Moshe Lechel Am, v'kidashtam hayomu machar v'chibsu simlotam. So here, the object of Kedusha is us. There's no question about it. We are supposed to be a holy nation. Moshe is supposed to sanctify us. What's the source of this Kedusha? I think us. I think people. And I want to come back to that. So what we've seen so far is the following. We have some broad working definition of the word Kadosh as meaning a positive religious value. Then I ask, what's the source of Kedusha in the world? The simplest answer is God, and there are a number of psukim that support that, but there are an equal number of psukim, by the way, there are many, many more psukim. I just stopped after 5 or 6, if you get the idea. There are many psukim that seem to support the idea that human beings are kadosh and or are the source of kedusha. Okay, all that by way of introduction. Now, let's actually look at the one pasuk that Mefarshim focus on, Poskim focus on in terms of Kedusha, because here the word Kedusha is used not descriptively, but proscriptively. Okay? Look at number 2. The pasuk says, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael ve'al matza alehem kedoshim tihiyu. So let's just stop there. God says it's a mitzvah. Okay? Talk to b'nei Yisrael and tell them kedoshim tihiyu. Be kadosh. Okay, that's interesting, but it gets better. Why? Ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I'm kadosh. Okay, what do we make of this pasuk? It has both parts that we've been discussing. Clearly, God says kadosh is a nickname for me, an adjective, a description. It replies to me, I am kadosh, as a result of which I want you to be kadosh. So now, this pasuk seems to speak to some beautiful, highfalutin, you know, Kabbalistic concept. But you read Rashi, and it's depressing, because Rashi's going the other way. Okay, but it's important that we start here. Kedoshim tihiyu, right underneath it, it says it's the Ramban, but the first part of the Ramban is Rashi. Rashi says, you know how great this is to be kadosh? You know what it means? Hevu prushim min ha'arayot u'min ha'aveira. I told you I'd come back to this. Okay, Rashi says, you know what it means to be kadosh? It means separate yourself from sexual immorality. Not very exalted. In fact, pretty, pretty pedestrian. Rashi says, I know this. Shekol makom sha'ata motzei geder erva. Anytime in the Torah you have a prohibition on sexual relations, ata motzei kedusha. You find the word kedusha, that's Rashi. Okay? So it's a very negative definition. To be kadosh means to separate from sexual immorality. Now, Most people think the Ramban disagrees with Rashi. I don't think so. Ramban right now says in the second line. Yeah, I think so. Where does it say Avera? Oh, Arai. Well, you know what? You'll read the Ramban with me, and I think the Ramban reads it my way. But you'll tell me what you think after. Just read two lines. Says the Ramban, Aval B'Torah, Kohanim. The Ramban says, Rashi's getting this from the Sifra. But there, Raisi Stam, I just saw it generally, Prushim Tihiyu, be separate. I think the Ramban is saying, be separate from all Averos. Whereas Rashi, he thinks, was saying, be separate just from Geder Erva. V'chein shanu sham, that's what we said there, v'hizkad ishtem, v'hiyisem kidoshim ki kadosh ani, kishem sh'ani kadosh, kach atem tiyu kidoshim, kishem sh'ani parush, kach atem tiyu prushim. The Ramban says, as best I can tell, I agree with you, Rashi, that to be kadosh means to be separate. But Rashi, you think it means just to be separate from a narrow slice of the world, sexual immorality. The Ramban says, no, I think it means to be separate from all averos. Okay, and now look the last two lines. Ramban says, "We'll see that ain't a prishut hazo lifrosh min ha'arayot kidivrei harav." It's not just arayot. That's where I got the idea from. Aval a prishut hi hamuzkeret bechol makom b'talmud shebe'aleha nikra'im prushim. It means when we use the word prushim, we mean people who are separate. Now we have to figure out separate from what. But in the Ramban, separate, I think, means separate from Averos. A person who separates himself from Averos is called Kadosh, and the word Kadosh has just this negative definition. If you separate yourself from Averos, you are called a Kadosh. Yes? Okay. So that's a good question. Give me a second, I'll come to it. Okay, first things first, there are two ideas that come out of this Rashi slash Ramban. One is that holiness is not the active performance of a religious deed. We think of it as, I want to be holy, I want to go out and do an act of holiness. In this pasuk, in the Rashi and Ramban, it's not. It's passive, just passively refraining from negative actions. If you had to put it in, you know, halachic terms, you say it's more of a sur meira than an ase tov. Simply, you know, stay out of the way of bad things, and that will make you kadosh. Sorry to say, this appears to be the sheet of the Rambam also. Sorry, there's more to be said on it. But right now, this appears to be the sheet of the Rambam as well. No one look inside. No cheating. The Rambam has, the Yalach HaZak has made up 14 books. But one of the greatest things that the Rambam did was he basically categorized the entire Torah. And you know, it's so far beyond anything anybody could possibly imagine doing. Like, you just think, you sit down in front of a blank page, you know, write all the halachos in the Torah, you don't know where to start. What the Rambam did was started by making 14 books, 14 giant categories. One of them is called Sefer Kiddusha. You're peeking. What's in Sefer Kiddusha? So I'll tell you what I would think. You know, davening and karbonos, and the Beit HaMikdash, and all those kinds of things. Okay? Look at number three. The Rambam wrote a little introduction. First, he has like a little pasuk. B'shem Hashem keil olam na'aseh v'natsliach ta'amai ha'chein ve'imratcha v'al tishlot v'kal avon. Right? You know, set my steps properly to follow your word, and do not let sin rule over me. Sefer chamishi v'hu sefer kiddusha, the fifth book of the Yalach HaZakah, is called Sefer Kiddusha, Hilchotav Shalosh, Vizel Sidu, and what are the three? Hilchot Isurei Bia, sexual immorality, Hilchot Ma'achalot Asurot, non-kosher food, and Hilchot Shchita, which is clearly associated with the non-kosher food part. It's a pretty negative book. It's not what we would have expected. Right? The reason why Briskers love the Rambam so much is because the Rambam sets these things up and then it allows you to say all these things. The Rambam never says any place, this is what I think the word Kiddusha means. But you look at what he put in Sefer Kiddusha, and you know that he agrees with Rashi and the Ramban that fundamentally the word Kiddusha means separating from prohibition. Okay? Sexual immorality primarily, but in the Rambam also, non-kosher food. Well, that's pretty much it in the Rambam. Okay, that's the first part of the pasuk. Remember, we saw the pasuk says, Kiddushim Tihiyu, We dealt with the first part. The second part we have to deal with is Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and you already pointed out, what does it mean that God is separating from Yisurim and sexual immorality? That couldn't possibly be. But the first issue is, what does it mean to be like God? Let me, God is this, therefore we should be like God. So the answer is, that's one of the mitzvot HaTorah. It's one of the hardest mitzvot HaTorah. In Latin, it's called, there's a bunch of Latin speaking here, in pluribus unum, excellent. In halacha, it's called the halacha bidrachav. If you look in the next source, this is the Rambam in Ilchos Deos. The Rambam says, Kach lamdu b'peyush mitzvaza. What does it mean to walk in God's footsteps? Obviously, you can't imitate God. So it says, Mahu nikra chanun afata hayei chanun. God is described as being gracious, so you should be gracious. Mahu nikra rachum. God is described as being merciful. Afata hayei rachum. You also have to be merciful. Here's ours. Mahu nikra kadosh. God is called kadosh. Afata hayei kadosh. You also have to be kadosh. Va'aderach zo kira'u ha-nevi'im la'kel b'chol otan ha-kinu'im. And all of the ways that we're supposed to imitate God are the ways, the adjectives that the Nevi'im used to describe him. Erech ha-payim, v'rab chesed, tzadik, v'yashar, tamim, gibor, v'chazak, v'kiyotze, v'hen. V'hodiya, why is God described by these terms? To let us know. Sheheim drachim tovim v'yisharim. They are proper ways. V'chayav adam lehanhig atmo bohem ulehidamot elav kifi kocho. And man is commanded to imitate God and to follow these ways. Which ways? The ways in which the Nevi'im describe God. The terms that the Nevi'im use to describe God are the ways we are supposed to try to imitate God. So now, let's ask the question. What does it mean for God to be kadosh if the working definition we're using is that God is separate from something? What could God possibly be separate from that would allow us to continue using this definition of kadosh? Okay, but we need a better word than everything else, right? Because, let's put it this way. There was a time where other religions and one famous Jew who got excommunicated believed that God was found in all these other things. What's it called? Pantheism. Okay? We're against that. So, if God is separate, pantheism said that God is nature. So I once heard Reb Chaim Navon, and I think this is right. He said, God being kadosh means God is separate from nature. Now, it's counterintuitive because God made nature. Like, to say that God is separate from my desk doesn't seem that problematic because I don't think of God having made my desk, although he made the raw material. Okay? But to say that God is separate from nature is to say that God made something and then separated from it. But that's exactly right, because God didn't give birth to nature. Bereshit bara Elokim, God created nature. And there's no reason, just like human beings can create something and not, and I guess they're associated with it, but they're not defined by it. Same thing with God. Now, but what does it mean? What does it mean for God to be separate from nature? Anybody? Okay, it's not so easy, so let's try. So that's a much fancier idea, but I did want to get there also. You're saying, why is Shabbos kadosh? Because it's separate from nature. Why does God give kedusha to Shabbos? Because he's separated from creation. I think that's right. But what we have to wrap our heads around is this idea, Rav Amital, Zichron Lebracha, used to always talk about, you know, people thinking zet tivi, zet nachon, or zet tov. If it's natural, it must be good. And the answer, he always says, this is not true. God created plenty of things, and God allowed us to do plenty of things that are not good and that are against his will. Presumably, God, I would say, God is in favor of gravity. He made a world that gravity rules. So if you ask me, I think God is pro-gravity. But I don't know, you know, if he's pro-gravity as a moral thing or just because he doesn't want everybody floating all over the universe. But there are parts of nature that are not defined by God and don't define God. Separating from nature implies, for human beings to separate from nature, implies kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. Right? It implies that we live in a world that is not governed by, you know, it's so easy to see how it is. If you look in the Rambam asked a very interesting question in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. He said, Adam HaRishon knew who God was. God spoke to Adam HaRishon, he spoke to Chava, he punished them, he created them, they knew they didn't have parents. The Rambam said, where did people start worshiping Avodah Zarah if their father and their grandfather, great-grandfather, knew God? And Adam HaRishon lived to be more than 900, so there were four or five generations of people who Adam HaRishon could have told, hey, stop worshiping the moon and the sun, there's a God. So the Rambam says as follows. The Rambam said, they always knew there was a God. What happens is, it's very hard to worship God because you can't see him. So the first people said, we worship God, but God must have given some authority. Or, say it differently. God didn't give any authority, but the moon and the sun represent God in this world. God created them. They govern things. So we'll worship the moon and the sun. We'll worship God via the moon and the sun. Then the next generation said, we'll worship God via the moon and the sun, but it's obvious that the moon and the sun have some independent power in this world because God wouldn't have made it. By the third or fourth generation, people forgot about God and were worshiping the moon and the sun. Why? Because nature is a powerful force in the world, and you see the direct control that nature has, so you start worshiping it. So, for God to be kadosh means for God to separate himself out from his creation, and for us to imitate God is to say that nature doesn't govern the world, and the rules of nature don't govern the world. God governs the world. To the extent that the Akedah, let's assume that it's unnatural for a father to kill his son. I think we all think that that's true. We may also think it's immoral. But to be kadosh is to say that I follow God. Even when God commands me to do something that seems to be against the rules of nature. As much as it bothers us, that seems to me to be the greatness of the Akedah and a prime example of Kedusha. But now, okay, are we okay so far? We started out with the basic definition of holiness being a positive religious value. We asked the question of what's the source of Kedusha in the world. We saw that it may be God, but it may also be human beings. Okay? Then we looked in the actual puzzle where Rishonim seem to say that Kedusha, the narrow definition of Kedusha, is separation from sin. But in God's case, not separation from sin, it's separation from nature, from the world, from the natural order of things, even though God created it. And if we have a mitzvah of Lidamos, Lidarchei Hashem, then our commitment to Kedusha and our attempt to be holy has to be to imitate God and to separate from nature as well and to separate from those things natural. By the way, it doesn't mean to separate from nature. Obviously, nature governs our world. You know, we don't paskin like nature. Right? I hold against gravity. You can't do that. But it means we're governed physically. If it rains tomorrow, you either use an umbrella or you get wet. Right? You can't say, I don't hold by the rain. But it means that your life is not governed by rules of nature. Your life is governed by commandments from God. Yes, please. Right? No, the reverse. So the answer is that those terms that the Nevi'im used to describe God that we understand, we try to imitate. That's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's God's command. V'halacha b'drachav is not a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It's a pasuk in Chumash. I'm not knocking Sukkot in Yirmiyahu, but I'm saying God asks that of us to the best of our ability. You're absolutely right. How can you imitate God? Eishol chlahu. The Gemara asks that question. The answer is we do it with respect to character traits the best that we can. Right. Yeah, my God does. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I don't know how it all works in totality, but I believe that God has the character trait of mercy. I also believe that God has the character trait of justice, and those two things are in conflict with each other. Okay, fair enough. Right, Nevi'im called him that. Right. It's fair to say, I don't really know what it means for God to be merciful, but I know what it means for a human being to be merciful, and if Yirmiyahu described God as Rachum, he must want me to try to be Rachum, as I understand it. It's very complicated, but it's not exactly what I wanted to talk about now. Now, okay. Broadly speaking, following the introduction, broadly speaking, holiness in Chazal is seen in two different ways. One is simply closeness to God, which supports this idea that God is the source of Kedusha. The other is what we would call halacha, performing God's will in this world, which is, I don't know your name, I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay. Which is closer to this idea that Rabbi Asher Anshul just articulated.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, whatever. Okay, fine. Sorry. The way you can get close to God is by performing His will in this world. Right? That's how you get close to any person. You want to show a person that you care about them, you listen to them, you follow their commands, you're obedient to them. That's the way to get close to God. But we've been talking broadly about sort of this general idea of Kedusha. But if we want to narrow it for a second, there are specific areas that Chazal or Halacha describe as Kadosh, and it pays to run through some of them. You know, there are objects in this world that are Kadosh. They have Kedushas Chatzah. Like what? A Sefer Torah is a good example. No, not us. Well, no. Go with the Sefer Torah, it's just easier, okay? Or what? But that's a place. First, just the object. If I get up and I'm makdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, right? I could be makdish a hockey stick. If I give it to the Beis HaMikdash, that hockey stick is now imbued with Kedusha. Where did it come from? It came from me, right? There's no way around the fact that it came from me if it's a hockey stick. Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. The Har HaBayis is Kadosh. Okay, we'll come back to those. Truma, Maestros, Carbonos, where did their Kedusha come from? From us. Right? It may have been sitting out there waiting, but you have to do it. All these things have Kedusha. Now, it can't be that the definition of Kedusha for all these things is just separation from sin. That can't be. It could be separation from nature, but the sense is there's something positive going on and not just something negative. Okay? It could be that God has a certain place in this world, a certain place even in nature, and that the Kedusha of the Torah has nothing to do with being separated from sin and is just imbued with some positive value of Kedusha that exists. Now, where do I get this idea from? Well, before I even get there. We've been working so far with this idea that Kedusha has a negative definition. I said sur meira, right? Separate from sin, separate from sexual immorality, separate from nature. But maybe there really is some idea about there being a divine presence in the world. Or maybe there's an idea about Kedusha being in a human being and man being the source of Kedusha. Rav Soloveitchik thought that this was true, that the source of holiness in this world is man and not God. Okay, I put down a little quote here. And if you just flip over the top of the next page, holiness is created by man, by flesh and blood. Through the power of our mouths, through verbal sanctification alone, we can create holy offerings for the temple treasury and holy offerings for the altar. The land of Israel became holy through conquest. It is man who sanctifies space, and makes a sanctuary for his creator. That's the Rav. The Rav says the source of Kedusha is man. Now, it sounds like a fancy, sweet, nice, philosophic statement, but it's also a Meshech Chachma. I don't know if the Rav needed the Meshech Chachma to prove his point, but the Meshech Chachma says it in a much starker way. Look at number 5. The Meshech Chachma says as follows. Ba'al tidamu ki ha-mikdash v'ha-mishkan heima inyanim kedoshim me'atman. Chalila, which is not a word you would see used very often in this context. The Meshech Chachma says, don't think that the Mikdash and the Mishkan have inherent Kedusha. He says, God forbid. Hashem Yitzbarach Shoreh B'toch Banav, it's true, God dwells amongst his people. V'im heima ke'adam avru brit, but if they violate the covenant, Husar mehem kol Kedusha, then the holiness leaves, V'heima kikli chol. They become then just like a profane vessel, ba'u pritim v'chaluha. And then you have the situation where sinners can show up and violate the Mikdash. Listen to this. This is a leftover from Tisha B'Av. Third line. Titus nichnas l'kodesh hakadashim v'zona imo. Titus came into the Holy of Holies with the prostitute, the loni zok, and he walked out fine. Now, we know all the Medrashim about how many Kohanim Gedolim died going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur because they weren't worthy. My guess is the slimiest Suki guy in Bayis Sheni, you know, was the Gadol HaDor compared to Titus, who walked in with his Zona and walked out untouched. This bothered the Meshech Chachma. Where did Kedusha go? And he says, Ki hu sar Kedusha to. Because the Kodesh HaKadoshim, after we sinned, had the Kedusha of a Motel 6. I say that, but that's what he's saying. V'yoter mizeh, he says, okay, we think of the Kodesh HaKadoshim of being the pinnacle of Kedusha in this world, but it's actually an object that has even more Kedusha. What is it? The Luchos, okay? God wrote the Luchos. V'yoter mizeh, fourth line. HaLuchos michtav Elokim. God literally wrote them. Gam heima einam kedoshim be'etzem rak bishvilchem. They're not inherently kadosh. They're just kadosh because they have a positive. They're a positive medium. They convey when we're worthy, then they convey kedusha. V'ka'asher b'natata kala b'to v'ka'asher zanta kala b'to chupata. Keep coming back to that. I blame you. Heima nechshavim l'nivlei cheres ve'ein bahem kidusha mitzad atzmam. Once the Jewish people sinned with the Egel HaZahav, the Luchos, actually written by God, lost their kidusha. It's like, you know, you got the person you most idolize in the world. We were just sitting under Wayne Gretzky's autographed jersey at a restaurant. Okay? It's like the kidusha went away. You know, it's like it turns out Wayne Gretzky was on drugs, God forbid. You know, so God wrote the Luchos, but as soon as we sinned, the Luchos lost their inherent value. Rak bishvilchem, the only reason the Luchos were kadosh was because of us. She'atem shomim otam. So long as we observe the rules in the Luchos retain its kedusha. When we stop, then the kedusha is gone. So davar. I'm in the bottom, in the middle of the third line from the end. He says, listen to this. Ein shum inyan kadosh ba'olam miyuchas lo ha'avodah v'hakniyah. There is nothing in this world with inherent kedusha. What does the world have? What's the word I'm looking for, Alka? Not inherent, functional. I think that's the word I'm looking for. It doesn't have inherent kedusha. It doesn't have, no, but that's the same as inherent. That one I knew. But I want to say it only exists functionally. No one's following this? Here's what I mean. Here. A hammer is mukta on Shabbos. Not because the hammer has any evil properties, but because it has no use, right? But when, it's a klisha malachta l'issa. But if you're having a coconut for shal shudas, and before Shabbos you put aside the hammer and you say, I need, you know, then the hammer is not muktzah, because it has a function on Shabbos. So what the Meshech Chacham is saying is, all the holiness we have in the world is only holy if it has a positive function. And the second we announce that we don't need this hammer on Shabbos, or God forbid, we're not going to keep the Torah, it loses its holiness. The air goes out of the balloon. Second line from the end. Barak Hashem Yitzbarach Shemo Hu Kadosh B'mitziyutel HaMechuyevet. It is only God who has inherent and intrinsic Kedusha, and that inherent and intrinsic Kedusha can't be touched. Okay? But everything else is unlike that. V'lo Navetzi Lava Avodah. So obviously he's worshipable all the time. V'chol HaKedushot Heima Mitzad Tzivui SheTziva HaBorei. Now it gets a little more subtle. So what are all the Kedushot? Heima Mitzad Tzivui SheTziva HaBorei Livnot Mishkan La'asot Bo Zvachim V'Kavanot V'Shem Yitzbarach Tzivat. Now it deviates a little bit. And let's try to sort this out. On the one hand, says the Meshech Chachma and says the Rabbi, well, says the Meshech Chachma more clearly, there is no such thing as inherent Kedusha. Kedusha is functional. If we want it and it will help us and we work with it, then there is an idea of Kedusha. If not, it goes away. I take this as being one with the Rav's idea that man is the source of Kedusha. Not so much that we can create Kedusha because we're so holy, but because God set up a world in which he wanted things to work for our benefit. Those things, broadly speaking, fall under the rubric of Kedusha. So long as we're trying to use an object, so long as we're trying to use a hockey stick for Kedusha, and we gave it to the Bedek HaBayis, the hockey stick has inherent Kedusha. Not really inherent Kedusha, but it has inherent / functional Kedusha, in that when I look at this hockey stick now, if I look at it with Kedusha x-ray glasses, it's glowing with Kedusha. Where did that Kedusha come from? From me. But who gave me the right to be Mekadesh things? God. My ability to be Mekadesh all flows from the fact, right, that God gave me some power to worship him. God is the ultimate source of Kedusha. He empowered me to be a source of Kedusha in this world. So long as I'm working in the right direction, I have the power to be Mekadesh things. But the second that I'm not working in the right direction, not only do I lose the power to be Mekadesh things, those things that are Kadosh, they also lose their Kedusha. Even the Beis HaMikdash, even the, I don't say the Makom HaMikdash, that's complicated, but even the Beis HaMikdash, its Kedusha flows through me, flows through us. God told us to make a Beis HaMikdash. We then served as the source of Kedusha for the Beis HaMikdash, and the second we stop acting properly, the Beis HaMikdash loses its Kedusha, and yeah, I don't know. On the one hand, let's speak personally for a second. There's no question that the Makom HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh is subject to a huge machlokes. Okay? Who in this room has been up there recently? Nobody wrong, okay. I was up there many, many years ago before I knew there was an issue. No one stopped me. In those days, you could just roam around. I think I went too far. Okay, in more than one month. Okay. So let's say, as we pass in the halacha, that the Makom HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh has an element of Kedusha to it. But presumably, no one would say, if Kedusha works on a scale of 1 to 10, what Kedusha does the Makom HaMikdash have Bizman Hazeh? 2? 3 on the high end? It's not what it was. Right? So the question is, what changed? Presumably the answer is, we're no longer using it. Now, if you wanted to get political, you could argue that if we took control of it after the Six-Day War, it wouldn't be a 3, it would be a 7. I don't know. But the bottom line is, there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why is there no Beis HaMikdash? Pick your reason, but it's our fault. Right? Whatever it is, it's our fault. Once it was our fault, the Makom HaMikdash went from being a 10 to being, whatever it is today. Now, I think it does retain, Halacha retains some level of Kedusha, but you could argue that that's not a real level of Kedusha. That's just out of respect. Just like a shul that's destroyed still retains a certain level of Kedusha. You can't use it for certain purposes, but you know, it's just respectful of what it once was as opposed to reflective of what it really is now. I'll do one more thing and then we'll stop for tonight. I just want to make a point. We've spoken a little bit about Shabbos. Okay? And that Shabbos is the first use of the term Kadosh in the Torah, and you suggested, I think properly, that Shabbos involves a level of separation. Where does the Kedusha of Shabbos come from? So we already saw, it's God, right? God said, that's not the right pasuk. There it is. Okay, Vayikadesh also. But the Rav used to like to quote this Gemara in Pesachim to say that even Shabbos, what we think of as having independent Kedusha, has a level of Kedusha that can be affected by man and maybe even controlled by man. The Gemara number 6 says, talking about when a person is supposed to make Kiddush and when a person is supposed to make Havdalah. Says the Gemara, Shaini lan ben iluye yoma la'afuke yoma. There's a difference between bringing Shabbos in and sending Shabbos out. Iluye yoma, when you bring Shabbos in, kol tama d'maktamin on le'adis. The earlier you make Kiddush, the better. U'mechabavin on le'adis, and it shows that you love Shabbos. Afuke yoma, but when Shabbos goes out, ma'achrin alei, you try to make Havdalah later. So that Shabbos won't appear to be a burden, you know, that you want to make Havdalah the first second you can. The Salvation pointed out halachically, the earlier you make Kiddush, the earlier Shabbos starts. Right? Shabbos, it does have an independent Kiddusha, and if you don't make Kiddush, Shabbos is going to start at some point. It's true. But you can control how early it starts, and it sounds like when you make Kiddush, you are adding a layer of Kedusha to the pre-existing Kedusha of Shabbos, so that even Shabbos, which unlike Yontif, which we'll talk about next week, Yontif we clearly control. But Shabbos, you know, Yontif is controlled by the calendar, which we control. But Shabbos is every seventh day, ready or not. But even with respect to Shabbos, whose Kedusha is Kriya V'kayma, and exists independently, we have a level of control. We can start Shabbos earlier if we want. We can keep Shabbos going later. And again, we can add a layer of Kedusha to the pre-existing Kedusha that already exists. And it's true. We know it in our own lives that there are Shabbosim that feel holier. Now I'm using Kedusha in a way that I didn't want to, but it's just true. There are Shabbosim that feel holier, and there are Shabbosim that feel less holy. How could that be? They all have the same Kedusha. The answer is, even with respect to independent, self-standing levels of Kedusha in this world, we have what to say. This is a much broader idea, but I want to expand on that quick, the Rav's idea, that holiness is not just a formal halachic description, it actually represents our devotion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we are devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have the ability to create more Kedusha in the world, to actually be Mekadosh things, not as a formal halakhic category, but just as a simple result. It's like, without overstepping a bounds, it's like, you know, love between a husband and a wife. At some point, the individual acts matter much less than the totality of devotion. Right? You say, you know, what expresses it? I don't know what expresses it individually. Overall, you look at a life together, and you see that it's a life built on, well, if you have that relationship with God, then the individual act, you know, can be defined in whatever way you want to define them. But overall, there is a level of Kedusha that exists. That's what I want to talk about next week. I thank you all very much for coming. 5 minutes, we'll dive in Marvin here. So, Wednesday night at 8:15 in this room. This Wednesday night.
I'm not going to see you again, though.
Well, you'll see me again. Many more times.
Just my luck.
Human beings. It's not John describing himself.
You haven't heard? I think I'm not now.
will that matter?
I didn't want to say when the lady flew, but I said 5 minutes.
Oh, but what do I do with the recorder? You know?
Ask what he's got.
Danny Sachs is in charge and he's not here.
Linda, how you doing?
Oh,
what's going on?
I'm good. How are you?